Hey, my name is Dan Ryland, and I serve as the executive pastor and chief of staff at 12 Stone Church. We're located in the Gwinnett County area of Atlanta, Georgia, and we're a multi-site church. Kevin Myers is the senior pastor and founding pastor of 12 Stone Church. 28 years ago, came down from Michigan and launched 12 Stone. God's doing some great things, and I am fired up that you and I share a common passion to raise up leaders, to develop leaders. I'm excited that you are taking a look and going to jump into the Joshua's Men process. And so what I'd like to do is just jump right in and give you kind of a bird's eye view, an overview of the Joshua's Men process. Kind of a lot of bullets, a lot of fast pace. I know you're a busy person, so let's just jump right in. Let's start with the vision and purpose of Joshua's Men. And if you want to take some notes, I've given you an outline there in the resource materials. And so number one is the vision and purpose of Joshua's Men. It is to develop the next generation of leaders. Joshua's Men is a one-year leadership intensive transformational process that results in more and better leaders in your church. That's the vision, to invest in and develop the next generation of leaders. You know, there are a few things I've ever done in over 30 years of ministry with greater impact, lasting legacy, and more fun. The biblical model for Joshua's Men is really, you probably guessed it, Moses and Joshua. Moses was the leader. He was the one at the table. He was the one in charge. But he invested in, and empowered Joshua to lead the next, to lead them into the promised land. That's the big idea, biblical picture. So you want to ask yourself the question, who are your current leaders? Have they been trained? How well are they leading? And then the big key question, because every church I've ever been part of or get to talk to, we always need more leaders, right? Of course. So who are your next leaders? Who's the next one leader, the next five leaders, the next 25 leaders? Who are they? Who's finding them? Who's pouring in and investing in them? Who is raising them up, and how are you doing that? And, you know, I don't know. In this case, sometimes in churches, they may have not poured into or trained the current leaders. And you may want to do that first. Then start with the group of the next leaders, the next gen that you want to invest in. I believe that next to the favor of God, everything rises and falls on leadership. Your church needs more and better leaders to realize all that God has planned for you. So let's continue on this idea of the vision and purpose of J-Men. The next idea is it's all about life change. The purpose is to develop men so they are better leaders at work, better leaders at home, and better leaders in the community. And obviously, we're talking about spiritual leadership. If I had time, I could tell you so many fun and amazing stories of life change, but I want to keep my promise to you and just keep moving through at a rapid pace to give you this overview and the big idea of just if I was sitting down with you having a cup of coffee and you said, so how do you do Joshua's Men? That's what this is for you. Now, the curriculum is very much on purpose. The curriculum is strong. It's field tested for a long, long time, but you can make changes. I've changed several books over the years and several projects. The real secret sauce, this is what I want you to hear, the real secret sauce to life change, three components: a catalytic leader, someone like you, 7 to 8 hungry guys, and the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. A catalytic leader, 7 to 8 hungry guys, and the Holy Spirit. I've never seen it not work. The format's simple. That's the next bullet. The format's simple. Here it is. 4 hours, once a month. Usually we start in January. There are 2 retreats, and we'll talk about the details of that format later. But once a month, 4-hour meeting and 2 retreats. Now, the retreats are longer. They go overnight, and there's just 2 of those during the year. God has really blessed Joshua's Men for decades now since the launch in 1987. Thousands of men have gone through the J-Man program, which we call it here, in churches across the country. So let's go to number 2, the process of developing leaders. Here's the first idea. Invest more time into less men. The goal for Joshua's Men and leadership development in general is not how many guys can you get at the table? How many guys can you get in the room? Don't turn this into an all-church event or a program thing. At 12 Stone, it's limited actually to 40 guys a year. We have five groups, eight guys in a group, and we could put lots and lots and lots of guys in it, but that isn't the purpose. If you're looking for something where you can put all the guys in the church in it, that's wonderful. Start a men's ministry, have men's small groups. We do men's small groups. We put lots and lots of guys in it, but this is to raise up leaders. Second bullet here, make sure you're willing to pay the price. J-Men requires significant amount of time and effort and energy. It's not really a if-you've-got-leftover-time idea. To lead a Joshua's men group, I want to just be really candid with you. As a leader, it's a commitment of at least 10 hours a month. Some guys can put in quite a bit more, depending on how much time you spend with the guys in between meetings. But it's, you know, it's 4 hours for the actual meeting, a couple of hours of prep. You've got maybe 4 hours where you're connecting with guys during the month. You're talking a good 10 hours a month or more. But let me tell you something. I promise you, it's worth it. Over the long haul, when you see the results, the legacy of the men that you get to pour into, it's just absolutely fantastic. Next bullet, don't compromise the process. Don't compromise the process. I know we're all fast, 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 go, 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 and I'm even kind of doing that a little bit on this recording, just because I know we don't have a lot of time. But when you do this, J-Man, this Joshua's man, don't shorten or lighten the experience. Guys call me from all over the country and say, hey, give me this idea. This is what we're doing. We're changing this book. We're going to do this idea. And one of the first things they'll do is say, well, a year is a long time. Could I do it like in 9 months? Or could I do J-Men in like 6 months? Or it's almost like, can I name that tune in 4 minutes? No, you really can't. There's something about experiencing a year with a group that does something. There's an impact in it. There's two retreats I mentioned to you earlier. One in January is the kickoff retreat, and that's an overnight, kind of a 24-hour thing, but don't shorten that. Take the time. As a matter of fact, when we talk about the three-minute testimony, sharing their story, we've never had a guy go 3 minutes ever. Sometimes it's, you know, 30 minutes, it's 40, it's per guy. I mean, we really tell stories and get connected on that kickoff retreat. Then in June, for the communication retreat, you actually need all that time because every guy delivers an 18-minute sermon. Everyone delivers a commercial, a 30-second commercial. Half of them are scared out of their minds. Some of them have never taught a biblical sermon or message before. It's a lot of fun. And it's not just about helping leaders become better communicators. It actually gives them an insight into who they are. And when they hear their voice the first time or see themselves on a playback screen, and they'll say things like, I don't sound like that, and I don't talk like that, and that's not what I look like. And we look at them and go, yeah, it kind of is. But it's a self-discovery process. Don't lighten or shorten the process. There's cool projects that you don't want to cut. But one is a three-day fast. Many of your men have never fasted, not fasted that long, and don't rob them of that experience or writing their purpose statement or interviewing a leader. You get the idea. You can look at the materials, but just don't compromise the process. Here's another one. Communicate that you believe in the guys. Leading to Joshua's men is about heart and passion. You gotta love seeing your guys grow. You got to really care about who they are to make this work. As the leader, you truly possibly believe in the guys before they believe in themselves. You truly care about them and want the best for them. One more thought here under the process of developing leaders. The emphasis is leadership development. And you think, well, duh. I mean, but let me say what I mean by that. The emphasis is leadership development. It's not a Bible study. Now, it's biblical, and we refer to Scripture throughout the process. We're developing spiritual leaders, but it's not a Bible study. It's not a counseling group. Now, we get real, and we tell the truth, and we guys get personal, but it's not a therapy kind of counseling thing. It's not a men's ministry. You may have a men's ministry in your church, or you may not, but this isn't a men's ministry where the guys go out. This is an incredible opportunity to develop leaders. Let's talk about one of the key components. Number three here is selecting your Joshua's men. The goal is for you to prayerfully select about seven guys. I tend to encourage churches and leaders to make no less than five and no more than 9, no less than 5. You don't quite have the dynamic and the energy you want. And more than 9, the guys don't get to talk enough. So about 7 guys who are Sharpies, and they either are clearly potential leaders or are already leading but could use this development. You're not picking – you don't want to look for guys where somebody says, you know, I know Johnny down there or David, and he could really use this program. No, that's not the right guy. Or hey, David over there, he's a nice guy. No, that's not what we're talking about. Somebody who needs it or is a nice guy. We're talking about the Sharpies who have potential to lead. I think Joshua's Men works best with younger guys, typically from the late 20s up to maybe 40. I know churches that they'll bring guys in their 40s and even occasionally there's an old guy like me way up in the 50s and, you know, from the Jurassic era, I know. But that's fine. You know, listen to who God wants you to put in the group, but it's geared a little bit younger than that. All the guys should be married. I would strongly encourage you not to back off on that. It's a dynamic. It's a threshold. It's a rite of passage. If you mix in a couple of single guys in the group, I promise you it will change. It will radically change the dynamic in the room, in the process. In all the years and all the churches I know, we've never made an exception about married. I'll tell you an exception we have made and we've changed. Jamin used to be not only all guys married, but all of them have kids. Because some of them are younger, getting married later, having, you know, their families later. We do have some of the men who were in Josh's Men, they don't have kids just yet, or they're little babies, but little ones. But for sure, all of them married. So let's talk about characteristics of a Sharpie, characteristics of a potential leader. Here's what I look for. Here's what we look for. Hungry to grow, potential to lead, a heart for God, good character, and relational savvy. I'm going to say those again and just talk for a couple of seconds on each one. The first is hungry to grow. We're not talking somebody into something here. This is a get to, not a have to. That they want to be in. They're hungry to develop as a dad, as a leader, as a husband. They want to grow. They have potential to lead, or they're already leading. They may be leading in the marketplace, maybe leading the church, or potential to, but they are a potential leader. Third is a heart for God. We don't recommend a brand new Christian, but they don't have to be a mature believer, but they chase God. They love God. They have a heart for God. They want to know more. They want to be closer. Good character. You just can't trade out good character. You want people you can trust, you can count on. They have solid character. And then the last one I had mentioned in my quick list was relational savvy. They're good with people. They have a good way about them. Now, I don't mean personality. There are some guys who might be quiet, some guys who are outgoing. That's fine. That's just how God wired people. But there's a certain relational intuitiveness that they have about them, that they're self-aware, they get it, and they can be part of a group and make a contribution to the group. So some practical tips. Let me share some practical tips with you on selecting your group. First bullet, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Ask God to help you select the right guys for each group. Second, start with who you have. Start with who you have. There are many pastors and sharp lay leaders in churches that across the country that are calling me, say, you know, I'm part of a smaller church. I only have 5 guys in the church that are even remotely possible, and they're all in their 40s or they're 21 or something. And here's what I would have to say to you. Start there. Start with who God has given you. Don't think, well, I don't have the right guys or I can't. Sure you can. Start with who God has given you. You'll raise the bar of leadership and you'll be surprised at who that begins to attract into the church. Now, maybe you're saying, well, I'm in a really small church. I only maybe have 2 or 3 guys. All right. The question comes up, can I go outside my church and maybe invite some others in? Absolutely. Maybe, here's a cool idea, partner with another small church. And maybe each of you has 2 or 3 or 4, and you can put a group together and share it and get creative that way to expand, rise the tide of leadership and expand the kingdom by partnering with another smaller church nearby. Last bullet here for selecting your Joshua's Men. Ready? Don't select the guys under political pressure or social pressure. I'll be really candid with you. Every time I've ever done that, I haven't done it often, but in the early years I did. You know, there was two best buddies and one got picked and the other didn't. And I said, well, they're best buddies. We got to put them both in. And every time I kind of caved to that sort of social pressure or political pressure, somebody was a higher up in the church and they didn't get picked and all that stuff. Listen, this isn't about best buddies or a club. Choose the best potential leaders that you have. All right, number four, here we go. Inviting your Joshua's men. Inviting them, what we're talking about here is inviting them into the group. First bullet, make it personal. Don't do this over the phone. Make it personal. Meet for coffee, meet for breakfast, maybe lunch, but have some face-to-face connect time. Let them know that they matter. You care about them. Second bullet, start early. Let's assume you're going to start in January. You don't have to, but let's assume it maybe is a January start. You want to be having these coffees and praying and making these decisions and inviting guys in the group around October of that year and already have the retreat date set for January. Next bullet, challenge the men to a huge commitment. I can't overemphasize this one enough. Challenge them that this is a huge commitment. This isn't a, well, you know, if I have time. This is a big commitment. We kind of tongue-in-cheek, but kind of kidding, kind of not kidding, we'll say, you know, life or death or you show up. Life and death is the only reasons you can't be there. Life meaning, you know, somebody, baby was born. Okay, we understand that. Death, well, it's hard for you to show up. I'm kidding there, but maybe death in the family. But it emphasize this isn't, well, I was busy or I was tired. The group's counting on you, and part of the investment is to be able to show up. So lean into the challenge. It's a huge commitment. The preparation, got to do your homework, got to read the book, got to do the opposite, got to do the projects. It's not an option. And but here's the thing. It's not a have to, it's a get to. This is an investment. The point of all that is not to just be hardcore or legalistic. The point of it is the guys get out of it what they put in it. That's where my passion comes from. That's where all the leaders I know from around the country, their passion comes from is if the guys who pour into the process and come ready and come prepared, they get so much more out of the process. One last thing. This is just a sort of a side thought, but it may be subjective in some ways, but I've just learned this over the years. I would make sure that the men's wives are supportive to the process. You know us guys. Many times we've invited a guy into the process of J-Men for the year, and he never even told his wife. And she's going, where do you go every once a month for 4 hours, and what do you guys do? And that's a big mistake. Because of that, we've actually started having pre-meetings where we invite the wives and we tell them and they see the program and the wives get excited beforehand. They go, oh, it's about time we get them in a program like this. And so it's great to have them, have the wives knowing what's going to come and how exciting and the investment that's going to be made into her husband. And she can pray for him and encourage him in the process. And a lot of times we'll hear stories about the wives grabbing the guy's books and reading and say, hey, tell me what you're learning here. And they get involved with it. So that's cool. Last little bullet here under number four, inviting your Joshua's men. Send a letter to them upon each man's acceptance. Every time a guy says yes, send a letter. Communicate in writing all that you said in person. There's a lot to it. Write them a note. Say it out again. Give them an outline. Encourage them. Send a letter. There's samples of all this stuff and formats. All this material is in writing in the website. All right, number five. Here's a sample meeting format, excluding, of course, the two retreats that we talked about. A sample meeting format. Now, I strongly recommend that you meet in a home. It's a warmer environment. It's a more relational environment where there are no interruptions and the kids aren't running around. And sometimes that's difficult, I know, but maybe you can move from house to house kind of in your group. You know, some of the guys say, oh, I want to meet at my house next. But have it a place that's a warm relational environment where there aren't interruptions. And I know sometimes that's difficult to find that, but it really is a better choice than a more of a sterile room in the church kind of a thing. Meet where you need to meet, but I strongly recommend to meet in a home. There's four main components. And I've given you some time slots there, mealtime, 45 minutes, teach the lesson an hour, interact with the study guide projects an hour and 45 minutes, and prayer 30 minutes. Obviously, this is very, very flexible. The Holy Spirit kicks in, you take off on a topic, it's powerful. But this is a guideline for the 4 hours. For the mealtime, enjoy, catch up, talk, laugh, you know, keep it simple, have some pizza, whatever. Teach the lesson where I've written, you can give an hour to that. And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to teach for an hour? Well, keep a couple things in mind. One, we've already prepared lessons for you, and you can, it's already written, and you can, you know, I don't like that point, I want to put in this point, or I want to change it. I mean, a lot of the work's already done in the resource, in the material here for you. And second, it's highly, highly interactive. So you're really not teaching for an hour. You're talking and you're sitting in a circle and you're looking at your notes and you're kind of going through and you are teaching, but they're interacting and talking back and you guys are dialoguing and you might only get halfway through a lesson because the Holy Spirit kicked in and off you guys went on the real meat for that night or that day. And then they interact with the study guide projects, 1 hour, 45 minutes. Again, that's about, in all the years I've led Joshua's Men groups, I've never finished all the material. I've never answered all the questions. I've never gotten through, is this too much stuff? I always pray and look for that Holy Spirit moment where something ignites, something clicks, and the guys are off and running, not on a tangent, but something that's really relevant and really cool. That's the power. It's not, the goal isn't to fill in all the blanks. The goal isn't to answer all the questions. The goal is life change. Enjoy the process. The room will show you where to go. And then pray, of course. Sometimes we pray for a long time. Sometimes we pray for a few minutes, but always have a time of prayer. That leads us to our last point, number 6, prayer partners. You know, because Joshua's Men only meets once a month for 4 hours, by the way, there's another sort of cool thing, cool factor about meeting only once a month. You can meet in a time that most busy guys would never give you if you meet just once a month. For example, for years and years and years, my group always met on Friday nights. Well, the guys I run with, the busy, busy guys, they're not going to give me all their Friday nights. No one's going to give me all their, I'm not going to give them all my Friday nights, right? But once a month, see, that's a great option. But you get to find the time and the spot that works for you. So the once a month is a cool idea. Now, here's the downside of meeting once a month. It's 30 days before the group's back together again. In some cases, if the church is very, very large, it could be 30 days before they barely even see each other again. That's where prayer partners kicks in. You want to pair up all the guys one-to-one. If you have an odd number of guys, you jump in. If you have an even number of guys, you can pair the guys up, and you can rotate through. But pair them up prayer partners where they are required to meet one time in between meetings, anywhere they want, any way they want. They can meet on a golf course. They can meet in a coffee shop. They can meet anywhere they want where they sit down and talk and catch up. What are you learning? How are you growing in the Joshua's Men process? And they share prayer requests and they pray for each other. It's a powerful tool. It's a bonding tool. It's a connecting tool. Lifelong friendships come out of J-Men process. But that's where the prayer partners come in, to meet one time in between the once a month meetings. Well, I think that takes me to an obvious logical place, which is to close in prayer. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these few minutes where I can kind of go rapidly through the idea of Joshua's Men. You know of the thousands of stories of life change. You know how this lifts the tide of leadership in a local church. You know how this raises up next generation leaders. I pray for every leader who will engage in this process, that you would anoint them and grant them wisdom, favor. You would grant them the right men in the right group in the right year, and that you would grant great fruit and results year after year after year, group after group. Maybe in a larger church, someone's starting two or three groups. Maybe in a smaller church, it's one group. But Father, would you bless the church, bless the leader? Would you enlarge the kingdom because of the leaders who are using Joshua's Men? We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.